everybody, and welcome to The Prelude, a weekly podcast related to anything and everything filmmaking. That's just how it is with us. I'm Jonas.
And I'm Jack.
And this is the first ever episode. I'm super excited. How about you?
Very excited. Yeah, welcome everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in. Jonas, why don't you tell them what this podcast is about?
Well, I kind of covered a little bit in the intro, but it's anything and everything film related. So that goes from editing tips and tricks in Premiere Pro, stuff that we've been working on, to actual production, like what's it like being in front of the camera, what's it like maybe working in like producer roles, and then we talk about stuff that's already out from people who are better than us. And so I think it's going to be fun. We both absolutely love film. We're both students, quote unquote, of film. Yep. We are audio video production students. And so this is our podcast. And it's interesting because we're actually in audio radio competition together.
Yes.
So this will be great. Let's start us off with something really interesting. What's your favorite movie and why?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, there's a lot of movies out there that I've seen, but I think my favorite would be Thief from 1981. It has great story, wonderful acting, and the cinematography in that movie is just amazing. Like, I cannot get enough of it. But what about you, Jonas? What's your favorite movie?
Man, I'm a hardcore nerd, and you know by this. You're going to know how much of a hardcore nerd I am. It's definitely Dune. First movie. I read all of the books. I loved all of the books. I thought they were all incredible. I loved the story. And I loved the movie. I actually read the books before I read the movie. I saw it was coming out. I was like, oh, this looks interesting. And I picked up the 890-page book or whatever it is. It's thick. I don't think it actually fits my current skimpy little backpack. So I just read it at home, or did read it at home. So let's go ahead and talk about those movies specifically. Something I hear a lot with Dune is how hard it is and how, like, unentertaining it was on the first movie. And I completely understand that.
Yeah.
I really liked the, like, world that they built.
Yeah,
I'm like a big fantasy novel guy. I just love, especially, like, J.R.R. Tolkien. Like, how he just built worlds and just made it layer on layer on layer. Like,
right. You
could probably watch a bazillion hours worth of YouTube content on Lord of the Rings and just the world that J.R.R. Tolkien built. And so one, Frank Herbert made Dune, and I learned that it had giant space worms and epic music on the movie. I was like, dude, I'm going to love this. And so shout out to Hans Zimmer for making an absolute epic track, by the way, on that movie. One of my favorite movie scores of all time. And so I can see why it would be hard for people to get into it, just because, like, the movie itself, if you read the book, you're going to enjoy it, especially if you're a dude like me who likes that deep world building. The first movie really is just world building and setting up all the big events that happen afterward. Right. And so people like me who read the book were like, man, this is great. The people who didn't read the book thought it was a snooze fest. But it also is, from a cinematic standpoint, a beautiful movie. The effects... I was really, like, submerged in the effects. I was like, it's not Walmart Play-Doh effects that you see on a lot of movies getting pumped out. That just, like, really cringy kind of, like, uncanny valley
just cheap
effects. Yeah, like, cheap. And honestly, when it comes to that, you really can't blame the VFX artists, because when it comes to it, the producer's like, oh, we can do this in post, and then gives you zero time to do it, and that's the difficulty. So you can look at the VFX artist and laugh and be like, you're an idiot, or you can look at the director for being terrible at time management and putting people under pressure to do it in, you know, 2 days, which is, in the film industry, for a high-quality movie with billions of dollars of budget, it can look pretty bad, and it is not a lot of time. 2 days is not a lot of time. So how about you, Thief? How would you recommend it? How would you recommend it to other people? What are the big selling points for you?
For me, I got into it because I discovered it off of TikTok, which, a little tangent, I feel like people aren't into really the beauty of cinematography and films because of TikTok and how it's affected the aspects of modern cinema. But Thief, which was made in 1981, has beautiful cinematography, a great story, great characters. to follow on. And it's just, like, I could not get enough of, I could not get enough of the cinematography, the color grading. There was just so many aspects and so much thought put into the film that you can't just help but marvel at it. I mean, it's just a wonderful movie to watch and dissect. And just, I don't know, maybe there's a documentary out there about the making of Thief. I'm not sure if there is, but just it's a really well-made movie.
Dude, that's awesome. I think another like movie I really enjoyed watching was The Batman from 2022. Mm. I think whoever was on that did a good job with the world building. I was watching and I was like, oh man, this is Gotham. And it honestly reminded me a little bit of what actual New York is like, which I'm pretty sure is what Gotham is based on, is New York City, but like the DC version. Yeah. Now, you made a really interesting point about how TikTok is ruining people's film appreciation, especially with cinematography and whatnot. Why in the world would you say that? What makes you think that?
Well, I don't know. I feel like people's attention spans have gotten shorter. They're not able to appreciate film as much as like, oh, well, this doesn't look as good as this, or they can't appreciate the art for what it is because of this reason or that reason, or hey, this doesn't have a high enough budget, so it probably isn't good, or the cinematography doesn't match what I like, or the cinematography doesn't match what I see on TikTok, so obviously it's not going to be good. And there's just something kind of sad about it. I mean, everything these days is quick, fast, and just it's constant. But I, like you said, I mean, Dune took the time to have that world building, and it really paid off, and it was interesting to watch. And these days, I feel like that some of that most films don't take the time to build on their messages, their world, the characters. And it's just sad to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. On the point of, like, people not putting care in their movie, because that's what I was kind of getting from that is, or one of the things I got from that, maybe not the main point, but is, like, yeah, these days studios are kind of just pumping out movies to make movies. Mm-hmm. It's not becoming an art anymore. And I think in part that's because of just the amount of slop that can seep into it. Media, like right now, we're in just such a world where political tensions, like people just want to listen to themselves and they just want to do all this crap. They don't want to listen to anyone. And of course, as a big like communication factor in entertainment, the movie industry is going to be affected by that, man.
Right.
People are going to want to start pushing out movies that are very clearly just agenda jumps or agenda like propaganda, pushing their agenda out there. That they just, like, don't take the time to actually make it a movie. It's just propaganda, but 2 hours and 30 minutes long with maybe some – with a director who's probably snobby and stuck up and isn't the best and is doing weird things, right? And I think that's one of the problems with the media right now is that it's just becoming a political vassal. And it's like, guys, no, right?
That's what happened to art?
What happened to art? Exactly. What did happen to art, right? Like, that's part of the reason why I like Dune so much is because it's genuinely just, like, a good story. Frank Herbert probably loved writing that novel and building the world. J.R.R. Tolkien loved writing all of his books and just put so much care into it. And, I mean, heck, even when he wrote Christmas letters to his kids, he had this, like, I don't know if you heard of this, but he wrote Christmas letters to his kids and made, like, a novel of just, like, Christmas stories through letters, and he did this like lore building, and there's this like polar bear character. It's really interesting, but like we're starting to miss dudes who are writing like that, right? I think it sometimes it's who picks up the movie, right? I think that's a big part of it, who's picking up the movie, who's making it, who's producing it, but it's also who's writing it. We're having a lot of dudes just out there writing slop, right? I'm here to watch a movie to watch a movie. I'm not here for like political reasons, and so when a movie starts getting political, I'm like, okay, well, you just turned me away from this. And some people love it. Obviously, they're making money. Something's happening right. Someone's doing something right there that makes them just want to continue coming back. And so they're doing it, right? Mm-hmm. It's consumer culture. It's capitalism.
Right.
People are just going to keep coming back over and over again just because they like it, right? And so I think that's really interesting. I kind of want to go back to J.R.R. Tolkien and kind of that like world he built.
Yeah.
They should make a movie about it, man.
Fortunately, they have. Something that I think is the problem with media today is the corporate greed. I mean, we're seeing with Disney, maybe 10 to 30 years ago, we saw dozens of films put out that you can tell that there was actual appreciation. There was care. There was effort. Mm-hmm. And so much that was put into it, mm-hmm. into this piece of art. Now what we're seeing is that Disney, along with other companies, are putting out low-level, terribly made...
Elementals.
Yeah, like that. Movies. And, I mean, they sell, but, like, whenever you watch it, it doesn't feel alive. It doesn't feel rich with story, with love. And you can't see that there's care and passion put into that.
And I think one of the things that, like, turns people off is people are going to have opposing views. Like, that's just a fact. And so when you write a character that has one view, you're immediately cutting off half of the market. Mm. You're immediately saying, yeah, my character's like this. And then with our stupid world who doesn't want to listen to anyone these days, it turns into a, oh, this character's like this, I'm not going to come and watch it, right? Mm. So it's kind of like a weird cycle. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Things are just like feeding each other over and over again. There's a reason why Disney is not making as many hits. Yeah. Now, I will say recently, I have seen a little bit of a redemption in films. I've seen maybe some more high-quality things starting to come out, which is great. I'm super glad. I'm glad there are some people still caring about the actual art. But, there's a reason why Disney is just not making hits.
They just don't. It just feels like that they don't really care about trying to make people happy, trying to put stories out there that people can connect and relate to, that can have that change on people's lives or start entire movements. They're just doing it for the profit, and that's where the greed part comes in, is that they only want the profit. They don't care about the story. When it comes down to it, Disney, other movie studios, Universal, DreamWorks, when it comes down to it, these are movie studios. They should be making stories that, yes, do sell, but also are able to affect the world, affect pop culture, and just affect personal lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, steering a little bit away from the political, one of those things that, like, was really good, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and all the Spider-Verse movies, they are good. I was watching them, and, like, the animation is, like...
just top tier.
Top tier. The only way I can describe it is in food terms. It's delectable, right? like I want to watch it over and over again. I'm like, dude, right. This style, it's so interesting how much care they put into it. I mean, just think about the animation. In the first movie, Miles Morales was running at a different, like, frame. Like, they animated him in a different FPS than all the other characters, right? And I think they used this in part as a symbol of power. I watched a YouTube video on this, actually. And I thought it was really interesting. I think they had Miles at 16 or 30 frames per second compared to the characters running it, no, like the usual 60. That's like industry standard, I think, is like 60 frames per second. And then, like, once he finally, like, locked in and became like the Miles Morales, like he became Spider-Man again, he hit that 60 FPS mark and he looked smooth. And I was like, dude, this is so cool. Plus, the art style is great. I feel like the video game Marvel Rivals may have taken after it a little bit, just the style of that. And Marvel Rivals is a great game, by the way. If you guys haven't played it, go ahead and play it. Spider-Verse movies are great. They're just great story. One of my favorite lines is villain of the week, and it's because of that movie. He's like, I'm not just a villain of the week, and proceeds to, like, crumble multiple universes.
Yeah.
Right. So Villain of the Week came out of that, which was, like, really fun. The animation, like, I look at it and sometimes I'm like, man, maybe I should learn Blender just so I can animate something like this. Yeah. Right. It's like, imagine, like, a Batman like that.
That I would totally watch that.
Right. That'd be so gas, as if we had a Batman that was, like, animated like Spider-Verse. Just imagine how many things you could do with that. It'd be great.
The creativity is there, but, I mean, again, it comes down to just what do people want to watch? What are companies trying to sell? Do you think it'll make a profit? It's really crazy. It's really scary out there in the film world, but hopefully we will be getting more films that will continue to inspire us.
I mean, honestly, that's the hope. And again, like, I think I'm starting to see, like, a turn in movies and, like, quality. Like Dogman, have you seen the Dogman movie coming out?
I have not seen the Dogman movie, but I have seen all the trailers.
Okay, well, it's not out yet. January 31st. I'm planning on going and watching it.
It looks marked down on your calendar, don't you?
Dude, it looks so good, though. It actually looks like such an entertaining movie. Mm-hmm. The animation is, like, in terms of actual, like, how, like, choppy the characters are, it's very similar to Spider-Verse. I think animation studios are starting to catch on, like, ooh, people really like this, right? And so I think they're starting, some animation studios are starting to catch on, and I think that happened with Dogman. Like, the animation is kind of pretty similar. It's like that, I would describe it as, like,
sort of a comic book style?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, comic book style, right. But, like, combined with some other things, like still like being like film standard while being comic book style. Not like the, what's that new Spider-Man show coming out on Disney Plus that looks absolutely terrible? It's like Spider-Man, it's like Spider-Man Tales or something, and they tried to do animation like comic book style, but it just looks cheap.
Yeah,
ain't no one watching that. Take that off right now. You just wasted a lot of budget, Disney. I looked at that and said, I'm good. So yeah, have you seen any movies recently that you're just, like, in love with, other than maybe Thief?
I have not seen any movies, but I have been seeing some TV shows.
Okay,
one of them.
Let's hear it. Let's talk about the TV shows, man.
One of them is Yellowjackets. It's a TV show about a wildly talented girls soccer team. They're headed on a plane to nationals. It crashes into the wilderness, and they have to do a bunch of crazy stuff to survive. And 25 years later, the survivors are dealing with blackmailers, killers. It's a crazy show, but you can, man, the storytelling, the acting is just beyond of just what I was expecting, what others were expecting, and it's a critically acclaimed show for the storytelling, the acting, the world building. And season 3 is coming out in less than a month, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty interesting. I haven't really ventured into that much. I've had people like recommend shows like that to me. I think Hulu has a couple of shows like that. A show that I watched recently was Shogun on Hulu.
Oh yeah, yeah,
dude,
I've heard of it.
Shogun was good. That was art, like not in an art in a sense that it's not like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. This is like Leonardo da Vinci, this deserves to be praised. But it was good. Like, it was a pretty pretty TV series. And I was watching it. I was like, dude, the story's engaging. The characters are cool. Like, and it's like historic. It's set when the Portuguese were sailing around the world, and then the dudes wanted to get to Japan. Mm. And this dude does get Japan, and they call him Pilot because he's the pilot of the ship. And man, it was super duper, like, it was so good to watch, and it was super interesting. There's a couple scenes where I was like, ooh, I'm going to skip past that. Not because of gore, but because of just certain content that I personally don't want to see. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, it was great, and I watched it with my dad, and we were both like, man, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's based off a book, or maybe it might be a remake of an old TV series. I don't know which one it is. There was definitely an older TV series for sure. I just don't know if it was based off a book or not. But it was super good. It was really, really good. That was a TV series that I really liked recently. And I've had this, series recommended to me. It's on Hulu. It's something like The Bear in it.
Is it called The Bear? Is it like a cooking show?
Yes, The Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Bear. I was on like an athletics trip with the team, and one of my guys was like, dude, you should watch this. This is so good. So that's kind of on my, like, my watch list. It looks cool. I kind of like how it's set in the mountains. I like everything set in the mountains. But, yeah, I think it looks great. Is there anything else that you just have, like, right now that you're like, dude, this was great, this was awesome, I'm super glad that I got to watch this?
I mean, no, not really, but I am really excited about the new season of Stranger Things coming out. I mean, I cannot wait. I have it marked down on the calendar whenever they release it. Whenever they release the release dates for it. I mean, you can tell, I mean, just a year's worth of filming, and now we're going to get around, I think, 8 months, 8, 9, 10 months worth of VFX work, and this is one of Netflix's biggest shows, so they're trying to stick the landing for this final season.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait for it. Stranger Things has already proven itself to everyone to be an incredible show, story-wise and production-wise. It's a great show to watch. It's definitely been like a pop culture phenomenon. There's just so much out there about it. And I cannot wait for season 5 because this is such a huge TV show coming to an end.
Yeah. No, I've been watching Stranger Things since it first came out. My dad really liked it. My dad was an 80s kid. He grew up and lived throughout the 80s. And so my dad was like, oh, this is like a fun show. Now, I've heard some people say, oh, it wasn't really good after like the second season. Shut your mouth. No, it was good. It's pretty good all the way through.
I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinions. But
Yeah, but it was...
From us, too.
Yeah. But it was pretty... I've liked it all the way through. I think it's been a pretty legit show. Right? The first season was very, like, original. Every time they've managed to make it original, they've just changed it up a little bit and made it a little bit more in-depth, which is something you have to do on a show. You want to build characters. You can't just have Will getting abused by the big scary monster for 5 seasons straight, right? You might be able to have the same big scary monster, but you can't have the same character like going through the same thing over and over again because, you know, season 3 people are going to stop watching.
Right.
And that's the big thing, which is what Stranger Things is really good about. They're good at like getting you invested in the characters and like wanting to know like what's going on with them and just like see the world build. Like you really, you're like immersed. You're like, you're seeing the mystery uncovered. And then there's times where you know something before the characters in the show do. And you're like, come on, just figure it out. It's not that hard. Right. Now there is another show like that, that I watched probably last year. Longmire. Ever watched Longmire?
I've not heard of it, but what can you tell me about it?
The best way I can summarize it is it's a cowboy sheriff movie set in Wyoming. Now, I'll tell you, the first 2 seasons are great. I liked them. They were really, really, like, fun. They were, like, something that I was able to enjoy. After that, they just kind of became a soap opera. I'm going to be really real with you. First 2 seasons were incredible. And then after that, it came into a soap opera, and I was like, okay. I like, wanted to finish watching, but I didn't want to watch it at all at the end. And I don't really like that. And so if I ever watch it, it'll have to be in, like, the first, you know, 2 seasons. It'll be the first 2 seasons over. I don't think I'll rewatch the whole thing. But it's really interesting. The camera work is beautiful. The cinematography is beautiful. It's set in Wyoming, even though it's actually shot. Some in Wyoming is shot, some in New Mexico, because, you know, New Mexico looks like everywhere. if you want to make a mountain scene. And so... It's a pretty all right show, the first 2 seasons. At your own risk, go ahead and do the next 3. I think there's 5 or 6, might be 8 seasons. They really dragged it out.
Wow.
But it was fun. It was interesting. I liked the characters. I really like shows that you can kind of go into like mountain stuff, because that's where I grew up originally. I was from the Northwest, and so it was, I've always felt like a good connection with people and characters that are like, you know, in the mountains. And so with that, at 23 minutes, guys, we're going to sign off on our first episode.
Yeah.
All right. This is Jonas.
This is Jack.
And this has been Prelude. Thank you guys so much for listening. See you next week.